Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth. Thank you for joining me for this week's program. Does evangelizing scare you? You see, we all have a story to tell, and my guest today is going to assist us in helping us to share our Catholic faith story. She's the author of a great new book called Sharing Your Catholic Faith Story. You can follow her website at nancyhcward.com, and her blog is joyalive.net. Nancy, thank you for joining me today. How are you?
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. I know you came highly recommended. It was a pleasure to be introduced to you by our mutual friend, Kendra Von Esch, and I'm really glad that she made that introduction. I'm really enjoying your new book that you just released. I think it's very timely because a lot of people do have that apprehension in sharing the faith. And I understand that you're also a convert?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay, so I know we talked briefly off air yesterday. What was your childhood faith like as a Protestant?
Well, I'll just give you some brief highlights of it. I was baptized in my grandmother's Protestant church when I was a year older. I did everything in the church, all the volunteering, and I really loved my church. When I was 15 years old, I made a commitment to Jesus that I could preach, which I think was a pretty popular experience. But for me, it wasn't something I could talk about. So that's the difference with me then and now. I later worked in the church office, and that church was our second home. Especially after my father died, we just got very close to that parish. I was not looking for another parish or another church home. It happened through the influence of this pivotal event in my life. Basically, the death of my father when I was in my first semester of college. I was living at home and going to school across town, and I had made this commitment to Jesus, but it was a very close, very secret relationship. After my father died, I made the decision that what I wanted for my life was to find a devoted Christian man to establish a Christian home for me, you know, happily ever after.
Right.
And I found that, and that's how I came to church.
Okay.
By falling in love with him. Yeah.
All right. So it's love that brought you in.
Yeah.
That's great. That's interesting. I know that's your story is very different than, you know, my story. I came into the Catholic Church when I was a seminarian at a Baptist seminary, and I read a lot of conversion stories like that. And I know you said you met your husband, he was Catholic. Was there anything that you struggled with initially? Because like you said, you worked in the church office, you were very active at the church there. What was that process like?
Well, I had to struggle with a lot of myths versus facts about Catholicism. I struggled because I mistakenly thought that I would have to become a Catholic to marry the church, and this bothered me because I wondered if my relationship with God depended on staying in my child's church or how I could do this. I didn't feel comfortable making a quick switch in how I worship God, how I relate to God spiritually as far as my worship. But when I looked at this film, my husband, he was such an example of being raised Catholic. I said, I couldn't do any better for my children. He was rock solid Catholic. I would never have asked him to change because he was such a solid Catholic, or never asked him to change the denomination. Even though I recognize how important it is for couples to be in the same, to worship together. So I struggle with that. I struggle with leaving my, you know, what was more important, my childhood church or my future. And of course, there was no contest there. But in the family circle, there was some conflict there. Pressure on different sides about this.
Okay. So let's kind of fast forward a little bit. So when did you actually come into the, when did you finish the process of coming into the church?
Well, you have to realize that this was during Vatican II.
Okay.
RCIA wasn't in this year. A few months after we married, we went to service for 3 years, 2.5 years. And that was away from home, away from the influences of my childhood. And we were stationed in 3 different ports. And so I decided that I would try out the Catholic lifestyle, you know, at that time. You know, no meat on Friday, all the different things that my husband, all the disciplines. I would also try this out, see how this worked out. And so I went to what was called inquiry class, where you sit one-on-one with the priest formation. So I start, and then we move. And then I start again, and then we move. So the third priest says to me, Nancy, you know enough about the Catholic Church. When you get home, have the priest that married you baptize you. At that time, they did official baptism. And I sat there and looked at him, and I thought, you know, I had this peace hold me in my heart, peace in my heart that I knew that this was the time for me to come into the church. It was just, I finally felt like I belonged there. See, I hadn't felt like I belonged. I hadn't felt like I belonged anywhere except in my childhood church. So it wasn't for me so much theology or a longing for something else. It was just looking for that peacefulness that I needed to feel like I belonged. And so that's when we got back to our hometown, I had called the grand trifecta on Saturday afternoon.
All right.
Baptism, first communion, and first Eucharist, and reconciliation. All of those in one service. It was amazing, amazing experience. And then we went off to his first job at the service. So I wasn't home that much. I wasn't living at home that much to have that, those kind of pressures. My mother just fell in love and failed, so there was really no struggle after a while at all with the pressures. She accepted our.
Well, amen. So I know now you're a big part of your work is teaching people how to evangelize, you know, sharing their faith story. Were you doing this when you first came into the church, or was this like a gradual process?
I was not even sharing my story. It was, I would say, a couple of decades before I was really, if I even told anyone about that initial commitment to Jesus, it was so private and so personal that I didn't know how to express myself. I didn't know how to talk about it. I was very shy in those days. And of course, since then, I've learned, one of the big lessons I've learned about that is that our story of what God does in our lives, our continuous conversion story, personal, but it is not meant to be private. It's there for other people to see and to grow close to God and to give Him the glory. And we can't, I shouldn't, you know, I advise people not to think that their story is something that's private because it's meant to help others in their faith. So it was quite a while. It was quite a while before, and in fact, our family went through a kind of a dysfunctional phase when we had 4 children and they're getting towards high school age. And we were just really, we thought we were really good Catholics. We were struggling just to get our kids to church on Sunday. We got couple of the renewal movements in the Church of Castillo and in the Life of the Spirit, and we just had a complete renewal of our faith. And we just got into the church, the life of the church, daily mass, using the ministers, coming in, and marriage enrichment, Bible study. We were just there all the time. We just got a revival of our faith. And this is what I heard about evangelism. And as we see things about this, because I didn't know that the laity was, you know, supposed to be involved in that. That was not on my radar at all.
So
I began to pull up the conversion story because I was a convert, and I began to do research about it, and I found out so much about evangelization, and I thought, well, okay, I felt like God was calling me to try to do this. It was quite a journey to get from that shy teenager to connect and show people and teach people and equip people, really, to evangelize by sharing their personal story.
So it was through this renewal where you realize that evangelism is something that we're all called to do. It's not just the job of the priest, the deacon. It's, you know, Jesus calls all of us to do it. And I know one of the common problems that we have is, you know, maybe living that call. So how do I live my call to evangelize?
The evangelization has become all about love. It's about how God loves us and how we respond to that. And when we respond to God's love and love Him and love His people, our siblings in Christ, then we forget about ourselves. It's not about us anymore. It's not about our image or what people think of us. It's about loving them so much and loving God so much that we want to bring them closer into the kingdom. And that's what really the renewal for did for me. It helped me know that God loves, He's real, He loves me, and I want to do what I can to do what He has for me in my life. Because if I follow His guidance and the ministries that He involves me in or shows me that I should then that's what He uses to transform me into who He created me to be. And if I just say, well, I don't think I want that, I don't think I want that part of Catholicism, that evangelism part, no, that's not for me, then I'm missing out on something that He wants to give me.
Now, there's a ton of ways out there to evangelize. How do we find the best way for us? I know that's sometimes the big question I get. How do we find out how we're meant to do it?
Well, the first thing that I'd like to say is that I'm not a theologian. I'm not even a catechist. I don't know a lot about how to defend the faith with all the scriptures, not a scripture scholar. But what struck me was, in my research, I discovered that what Pope John Paul II said was the most effective way to evangelize is through our personal witness. Well, maybe I can do that. I've got that with me all the time. I don't need any other equipment. I don't need any other resources. I have inside me my personal story to share that no one else has exactly the same story. And no one else can affect the same people that I can. And so I have that. And so if that's the best method, then let's all use that one. But we've got it. We've got that covered. We just can learn ways to do that effectively. And that's what released me from feeling like I could not be an evangelist. I could not do that because I didn't have any national platform or theology degree, or anything like that. But I do have my continual conversion story that I'm living all the time, and that I can share with others to help them come closer to God.
Do you think that maybe one of the biggest mistakes we make when we try to evangelize is, you know, possibly underestimating our own experience?
Oh, I think the power of our story is much greater than we think. I think that when you first think, well, I'm going to be an evangelist, we focus on what I shouldn't do, or I should do this, I should do that. But, like I say, you tell your story, okay? And I don't care what people think about your story. What you say, they can refute your logic if you're talking about something logical or theological, but they cannot refute your experience. I would say some point of it. Facts tell the story itself. Okay, so you can tell all the facts about the Catholic Church. That's one level of imparting knowledge, but the story is what's going to really affect them. So that's why I wrote the book, and I give parish workshops and things like that to groups. And I want to help them do that, and I show them how to do it, and I sit down and they do it at the workshop. They share a little bit of their story with each other, and it's just so beautiful. For example, William, let me tell you some of the things that we're talking about that I can share, or maybe you have one of them. The first time that I knew that God was real and brought me to the Lord's church, I thought about that. How I committed my life to Christ. Maybe the story about how I became Catholic, returned to the Catholic Church for the possible to be failed Catholic. What was that moment that I made that adult commitment to take responsibility for my faith? Or how did God miraculously answer my prayers for healing or reconciliation with someone, or a provision for some great need I had, or rescue from danger? We all have those incidents in our lives where we sat down and thought about it. God helped us there. God gave us something to build our faith, and we can share that with someone else. Do you have any stories about anything like this that you can share with us?
Well, sure. I mean, my story, it has a lot of twists and turns, just like a lot of them do. I grew up in the Wesleyan Church, and when I joined the Army when I was 18, I became a chaplain assistant, and so I was exposed to a bunch of different faiths. And the first time I actually experienced the Mass was one that I worked at, and I was doing the sound system, and of course, you know, I had all those common, anti-Catholic thinking, like, you know, the Catholics don't read scripture in their services, and, you know, and the priest doesn't preach at all. Well, I was surprised to read an Old Testament. I was really surprised to hear an Old Testament reading, a reading from the Psalm, a reading from one of the epistles, and then, of course, the gospel reading. And then the priest gets up and gave a 40-minute homily that was really excellent. And I was like, wow. Okay, so it kind of shattered my misconceptions right there. But what really got me going into the Catholic Church's direction was when I was in seminary. I was actually a church history major, and I started reading the early church fathers. And this is where the Holy Spirit just kind of grabbed hold of me and said, hey, look, everything you're reading about, there's one church that's been doing it since the beginning. And of course, that was the Catholic Church. And of course, as I share this story with people, and actually on my YouTube channel, that's the highest number of views. Praise God, it's helped people, it's resonated with people, because some of those objections that I've had is objections that they've had, and so we communicate back and forth with it, and it's been able to help people see that, okay, they're not the only one that's been going through this, they're not the only one that's had these questions. I've had them, and lots of people have had them before me, if we're willing to look at them. And so if we're just willing to tell our story, it's amazing how impactful that story can get. That conversion video that I have on my YouTube channel has over 21,000 views at this point, and I've never in my wildest dreams thought it'd be seen that many times. I just did it as hey, maybe it could help someone out there, and all of a sudden I have all these views, all these emails saying how it's helped them. And so just like you said, the power of just getting out there, sharing your story, it's going to resonate with someone. And I think that's something we all need to remember when we're out there evangelizing. It's something we say will resonate with someone. We may not realize it at the point when we're doing it. But like, you know, the book of Isaiah said, the word of God doesn't come back void. It's going to hit somewhere. It's going to land somewhere. And it's going to resonate with someone.
Exactly. That's why it's interesting now to look at your experience, because I can say when I became a convert, I began collecting conversion stories, renewal stories, vocation stories, and put them on my blog. So when I was getting these seminars, I had a DVD, and I'd get these seminars on sharing your faith story. People would say, well, there's the book. So that's how the book came about, and but that's only a part of the book. Most of the book, large part, is 30 stories, faith stories, 30 chapters. Not long, some of them are pretty short on the long, but it's just amazing. Well, that's what a lot of people are looking for. They want, like, I give them the tools, I give them the tips, how to do it, and so much story and all that. And then here's all of these. Because no two stories are ever alike. Even if twins have the same experiences their whole life, their faith stories would be different. I mean,
right.
They're just so, yeah. So I'm thrilled that you're having that same experience. But people are looking for that. They're looking for conversion. How do other people come to know the Lord more? I mean, maybe they get a lot out of that. Maybe it's just fascinating to them because they have a story inside them that God is writing on their heart as they live it. And so one of the main tools of evangelization is journaling, because you have to know your story. So you write down many of those experiences that you have, like the big ones and the not so big ones, all those little miracles that you've done in your life. Something blesses you, that surprises you with something so outlandish, you know that was God, that you wouldn't have experienced that otherwise. And it's just beautiful how you collect these little magnets of your life, and you're ready when someone needs that, or God needs you to tell somebody about that mortal incident. It's really beautiful.
Right, and you've turned this into a ministry. Like you said, you do workshops, seminars, is teaching people how to do their story. What are some things that you may go over in these workshops?
We go over, like I said, the book is tools, tips, and testimonials. I go over my conversion story. And there's a pattern to how you can tell any kind of conversion or renewal story, so I take them through that pattern by telling my story, and then they have a meditation time and a workshop time to describe one little incident in their life that's using the tool pattern, the tool structure, and then the second part of that workshop is they get with one partner, and they tell one person their little story, and they hear the other person's story, so they get practice doing that. And the first time I did this workshop, it was a parish, it wasn't a women's group, it was like a men and women group. And so you could see a lot of guys, the wife kind of dragged them in there. And so they were very begrudgingly, you know, writing this down and sharing it. And at the very end, when I got through with all of the tips and how to do it, I said, well, now before we leave, are there any volunteers that want to share their story with the whole group? A line formed around the room, and the guys up there, they wanted to share some little incident in their story where they recognized that God had blessed them. And it was so heartwarming to see that happen. And they came into that workshop not really wanting to be there. They just wanted to hear about their story. And they went out there telling each other all about all these things that they had come to mind through things that I had seen. So that's just so wonderful to see people bragging about this and using it to evangelize.
there are a lot of objections. But like you said, sharing your story has a big impact when people hear it, to answering those objections, and sometimes we don't even realize it.
Right, exactly. Because people say, who wants to hear my story? Well, I don't think you want to hear it. Well, I didn't think I thought the same. Until I realized that my story sounds like spectacular. It's just unique about God's transformation from the problem. And when I share an incident that's relevant to the problem that they are currently facing, they will listen. So what I find is to start with one person, maybe a neighbor or co-worker or partner or something like that. And listen for their needs. Are they worried about their job or their health or their child's rebelliousness? And listen for an opportunity to share just a little bit about God who's been in your life to grow your anxiety and to deal with something in your life. Just one tiny incident answers there that they can relate to. You share that with them, please. And then you offer to pray for the friend's needs and ask them to keep you updated. You become someone they can trust and target, someone who brings them hope. And they listen to what you say about your deepest beliefs because they trust you. And that's personal evangelization. It's just a little part of the story, but just to go from you to you. That's why the beginning of this whole ministry came when I kept getting the same scripture over and over and over wherever I went, it'd be on the radio, it'd be normally, and it was the first year, please just think, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks for a reason for your hope, but do it with them, the reverence. So that's what you keep in mind. This is what that year of first hope is supposed to be. This is how we evangelize, to give people some hope by being ready.
And the Holy Spirit has placed you there for a reason, is to help in that moment.
And he's prepared that person for what you have to say. So, yeah.
Right. And so, like I said, we wrote your book. The book, again, is Sharing Your Catholic Faith Story, Tools, Tips, and Testimonies. And like I said, you share your story in there, you share tips, and there's 30 great conversion stories in there. And Nancy, where can our listeners find the book? Where can they learn more about your ministry and your work?
Well, to learn more about my ministry, if you have a time to do a presentation, you go to nancyhcboard.com, nancyhcboard.com. My blog is joyalive.net. You can get the book there or at amazon.com. And there's also an ebook and a DVD available on there also. Yeah. And we're going to be coming out with into the bookstores by early.
Fantastic. That's great. Guys, check out the book. It's a great book. Nancy did a great job with it. Gives us a lot of tools that we could use, not only to sharpen how we present our own journey, but it's going to help us evangelize out there, spread the gospel, and just help a world that is so badly in need. And Nancy, I thank you for taking the time today to come on the program and to share this with us. I think it's very timely and it's vital. I appreciate you very much.
Thank you, William. I enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it so much. So much.
All right. Well, God bless you and God bless your work.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.